Good evening. A warm welcome to the service this evening. We're going to begin this time of worship as we sing to God's praise from Psalm 106. Psalm 106 in the first three stanzas of the psalm in Gaelic, verses 1 to 4. Give praise and thanks unto the Lord, for bountiful is he. His tender mercy doth endure unto eternity. God's mighty works who can express or show forth all his praise. Blessed are they that judgment keep and justly do always. Remember me, Lord, with that love which thou to thine dost bear. With thy salvation, O my God, to visit me draw near. These three verses of this psalm to God's praise we sing in Gaelic and will remain seated to sing. And after we've sung, Angus M. will lead us in prayer in Gaelic, please.
Gada mi bitir anamın şiyorna. Ye ulevyanıç nadaşın yetiyen natiyeniş aşın moğol ez kibel şitlan pehke. Ach malı ve guhtır san gınanik la anı nyahtri edhele vanı şo farro tenefok ögüs pehke. Rihautin ögiriagi. Varananik nefoch gerslanier. Ögisabasuchugek krankesi halveri. Ögisanusene jelike ripeke. Ögisafene luch laven luchgeder. Ögisnadasinitien marluch göri. Ögisne. Ljevöga sin talan bevakin. Ögis arauna tina jöi en nevakin on the shit. Ögis a salami kante gier kainich aramsa. El leje grage huku dat a fuppel fäden. O heke let a lantje hola sich. Gar fistrochu. Ame. Ögis a moschen haschni tien. Gumitu kainochu gorn. Leje graschen. Achin kavi kalanix lanchu narpehe. Varevelchin yachin anau nar nyashtin. Achan nyasht nyakshin ugulik narumugis nar nachu erkran kesi halveri. Ugus dirini kantarine shalavramsa ugus biva vracharnuk. Aris mishitia agus chanyel aroch gaun. Agus moshani ghe sandruchtsa aashinye akhoat agus arsulan ar hokal suas gat yawsi ar alasho. Agus dirin heen akurnaar kaina gungulik slani ar nichin na khurin gini hikish. Ar harishigin kun vruga ar sona nanki okun. Kun leku gashin smachkochu garshi. Agus loch rechkusen. Kun lani chukshinye. Ach mala vigurter san kruk yalik morer hot ga. Nadi hikigaka vi fuluk. Ana römugus nar nachtje. Kun norigashin pui. Agus kun yediga. Agus gymig nich yn môr yr ylawrd ma hi mychol o'r gyfhengi gasliwch agus gymig môr lwg y ti yn gyfu baledys. Agus a ie hasyn ananfain mochol edar unrhyw ddesfion agus ar atiach yn cair a hasyn mochol ydd nechyl sy'n comysoch ydd fi cwrt na dionys mar y lwgych sy'n. Ach ha dyrin hen y tot gein misniwch an fi ei cant yr ein egon gyfel yn osnych ar y chyntion yr wchtse agos gyfel yw gatig sy'n. Agos mal y fi gwyth gyna mosyn ha nid hat y lwg sy ar y lygych sy'n. Agus nad had ar y smachgoch o gyrleidio goi le cwtiwm y la gyfel yw hen maliadw anasyn. Agus nachyl dialoch o gytian adar a ten agus dy spirit. Nor nad asyn y tîn gyfi y cdytsyn an y slaniar agus y gafardish. Mae'r ar dois lantio ond ysyn gyfel sy'n yr ar ysnaim brwt hen dred spirit y fi gafel coni na'r nanym. Ygys mal y fi gwrt yr son gyfel y spirit sy'n a hannu hyn ysdiach na'r be gair tror o'ch o'i iawn sy'n chrant cesi ygys ond ysyn sy'n y lai ys. Agus y ffosnioch o'i. agus agan marvat a luach sa o hen, agus ar o hen a canta dô at in a istiach a iawn si a tachian, agus fúl a rest a vír a chrachig ar na húsin agus ar an dátaris. Mar sion cyfal sin a lai a sias a fosgála ta chan chesi, agus an a sion fú fúl a chrachig. Agus gleis in a chrúhi ar na sion ar leit a gói, agus gymi fúl a chrachig oan gach las gach uad. Agus an a sin sin tiarin se. Agus gymig sinne, tyg sinne de a dyrin cantin dain au a lawart a na bi ökolost ar a misi maliarwt na bi gyrtjost ar ys misi to gyo. Gada yw sin tron in hane, gada yw sin tron in hysgiochon. Nach bi cadus ymi i'r tiyn gair niawn si. Ach gyfwyl sy'n tiar yn tio, an y nios y cthiast ar tiar na. Bian y chas yn y gwy yr wth na fydd y gian o fan y siar y la, agos as yn y cain o chwyd y ysdi llanw, y fydd y fastiwg, agos ar y gafal ysdiach, a an y nghwydioch dy lwag hen o'n y siar. Agos chan y fain gymys yn gael gafal, ach gymys yn y cain o chwgor gach la, agus morsion chanefan i siw, ach gen hannig ysdiach trenefastiw gyfi gafal yn ddachtiw an y chwydioch dy lwg. Gymysyn i'r gan hord gat iawn sy'n hen o chawm agus gymryd o hen y gafal gan gafal nad y chwydioch agus nad y chwyr. Gain y chwydioch o'n y lwha yr ilyg y siws. Na ha fwlwg fod y laif y chrwy ar ysyn i gwyio. Gymryd yw hen y canghym ar sŵas, agos gymryd gat mochol, a gyfel yw hen maliw ddw, agos anysyn gyfel at yr ynglech, a nefain gyfel dy nasht agos dy chwach, ar y noch gygai, fach gyfel yn y gard an siwr i ffop, agos anysyn at yr ynglech ar ynghymal, egon, Mae'r eglwys neu cerc a halych fwy sgiwchyn neu gan gymi iatyn yr ynglwys lahtu agos sy'n yw cwjoch maliadw gymi ynglwys sy'n ydy gan y fawon. Maliad ydy hirafa sy'n sy'n yw gwyrwyd. Cym sŵas a hann efa anu na dda ti yn gyfi tygysg agos gyfi pethau sy'n dachgol na'r ffianys. Ach yn ydy ha Y dyn gofi na ynyr y fiach yn di rawn sych o gymach ni sgriptarin. Gwbeth yw hen maliad i sianna sian. Cawm sŵas as gach na gneg an nopeth as y fela laha, as y fela y gobeth. Cawm sŵas as yn y gwyrwyd. As gach gneg an nopeth as y fela sas. Gannig sy'n cawm sŵw sy'n gleis sy'n magyn ar pech gydan. Nôl a sy'n i gyor i sandan am ygys yr sgach ddiwst. Amen.
Amen. We sing again to God's praise from Mission Praise 1008, the words on the screen. The paraphrase of Psalm 23, The Lord's my shepherd, I'll not want. He makes me lie in pastures green. He leads me by the still, still waters. His goodness restores my soul, and I will trust in you alone. So we'll stand to sing to God's praise in just a moment. Restores my soul. If you could turn now, please, in God's Word to Genesis chapter 15. Genesis chapter 15, we have been spending the last wee while looking at the life of Abraham, or Abraham at this stage, who becomes Abraham. So we've got to chapter 15 this evening, and we'll look hopefully at the whole of this chapter. Genesis 15, and at verse 1, this is God's word. After this, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your very great reward. But Abram said, O sovereign God, what can you give me since I remain childless, and the one who will inherit my estate is Eliezer of Damascus? And Abram said, You have given me no children, so a servant in my household will be my heir. Then the word of the Lord came to him. This man will not be your heir, but a son coming from your own body will be your heir. He took him outside and said, Look up at the heavens and count the stars, if indeed you can count them. Then he said to him, So shall your offspring be. Abram believed the Lord, and he credited to him as righteousness. He also said to him, I am the Lord who brought you out of Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land to take possession of it. But Abram said, O sovereign Lord, how can I know that I shall gain possession of it? So the Lord said to him, Bring me a heifer, a goat, and a ram, each 3 years old, along with a dove and a young pigeon. Abram brought all these to him, cut them in two, and arranged the halves opposite each other. The birds, however, he did not cut in half. Then birds of prey came down on the carcasses, but Abram drove them away. As the sun was setting, Abram fell into a deep sleep, and a thick and dreadful darkness came over him. Then the Lord said to him, Know for certain that your descendants will be strangers in a country not their own, and they will be enslaved and ill-treated 400 years. But I will punish the nations they serve as slaves, and afterwards they will come out with great possessions. You, however, will go to your fathers in peace and be buried at a good old age. In the fourth generation, your descendants will come back here, for the sin of the Amorites has not yet reached its full measure. When the sun had set and darkness had fallen, a smoking brazier with a blazing torch appeared and passed between the pieces. On that day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram and said, To your descendants I give this land, from the river of Egypt to the great river, the Euphrates, the land of the Kenites, Kenizzites, Kadmonites, Hittites, Perizzites, Rephaites, Amorites, Canaanites, Girgashites, and Jebusites. Amen. And may God bless that reading of his word to us. We'll sing again now to God's praise, and we'll sing this time from Sing Psalms 119, verses 105 to 112. Sing Psalms 119. Your word's a lamp that shines before my feet. It is a light that guides me on my way. The oath that I have taken, I've confirmed, that all your righteous laws I will obey. That section, we stand to sing to God's praise.
What a lamp that shines before my feet. It is the light that guides me on my way. The oath that I have taken, I confirm that all your righteous laws I will obey. Lord, you know that I
Well, let's unite our hearts in prayer just as we come back to God's word. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you once more for the fact that we are gathered around your word this evening. We thank you that we have the freedom to be able to do so. We thank you that we have your word in a translation that we can understand. And we thank you that it's affordable to us, that we have your word in our homes and on our phones. And that still we have the freedom within law to lift up the name of Jesus and to come together publicly in worship. And we ask, Lord, that you would enable us truly to be in worship as we gather together. And help us as we lift our voices to sing praise from our hearts. Help us as we come before your word to have that sense of expectation that comes through in that psalm, that you will guide us, that you will lead us, that you will show us the way, that you will have us live. And we know that ultimately Jesus is the way. And so we pray that we would see Jesus, that we would follow Jesus, that in all that we do, both in this hour and in our lives, we would seek to stay close to Jesus and lift up and glorify Jesus. Now we are conscious that increasingly there are many around us, even in this place, that don't know the message of the gospel, who don't understand why Jesus came, the purpose for which he came, who haven't heard about the great exchange that took place on the cross, where our sin was transferred to him and his righteousness is transferred by faith to us. We're conscious that there are those who don't realize that Jesus laid down his life for us and on the third day took that life up again, promising that all who believe in him will share in the resurrection life that he demonstrated and currently knows. So help us, we pray, to look for opportunities and to take them, to tell people the message of the gospel. Help us to look for chances to speak about the name of Jesus. And may our conversation, as it says in Colossians, be seasoned with the salt of the gospel and enable us through our lives, through our witness, not to be an obstacle to people, but to rather be a signpost to people, to show them something of the character and the nature of Christ. We pray that you would forgive us, Lord, because we're conscious that often in our character, in our actions, and in our inactions, in the words that we speak and in the silences that we sometimes allow to be prolonged, we are conscious that we sin. Often, Lord, we do not practice what we may preach or hear preached. And we ask that you'd forgive us. We know that we fall short. We know, Lord, that we grieve you. But we thank you that there is forgiveness for those who confess sin. So cleanse us, Lord, as we seek that cleansing. And equip us, fill us with the Holy Spirit, that we may seek to serve you and serve you in our lives. We pray, Lord, that you would be with each person who's here tonight and every home and family that's represented. We ask that you would bless us, that you would meet us at the point of our need. And we pray for those who'd like to be here, but who can't be, for those who are ill at home, those who may be isolating even at this point still. We ask, Lord, that you would draw near to them and that you would minister to them in their need. And we pray for others who have opportunity to be here, who may have been encouraged to come here, who may be asked repeatedly to come here but have no desire, who may be going through a phase where they are rebelling, or who may have for many, many years been in rebellion. And we ask, Lord, that you would work in their hearts. We pray that you would create that soul thirst that is quenched only in Jesus. We know that we do not seek you. You're the God who seeks us. We are not those who choose you in and of our own volition. You are the God who chooses us. And so as we think of people that we love, people that we work with, people that we spend time with, we bring them to you in prayer. And we ask, Lord, that you would be working in their hearts to awaken them to their need of Jesus, to draw them close, Lord, to yourself. So hear our prayers, cleanse us of our sin, and lead us in the power of your Spirit as we open your word. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. If you could open Genesis chapter 15, please. I've got a clock that's 5 minutes behind time in front of me here, which is dangerous. Genesis chapter 15 is where we've got to tonight in our stepping through Genesis and our studies in the life of Abraham. And Genesis 15 verse 1, we'll launch straight into it. It begins with these words, after this. So I suppose before we get into Genesis 15 and look at the substance of the chapter tonight, we need first to take a glance back at Genesis chapter 14 and ask the question, what has been referred to in the first verse? After this, says Moses as he writes this section, and we have to ask the question, after what? What's happened in Genesis 14? Where did we leave Abraham last time we were looking at this? And if you glance back at Genesis 14, we're not going to study it at all, but if you just allow your eye to just glance back over it, we can see that in Genesis chapter 14, as it comes to an end, we leave Abram and he's on a high, he's in a good place. Abram had become aware that his relation Lot is in danger in Sodom and he's captured. And so Abram, he goes out with his men to basically try to recover him. So there's a battle, and there's these coalitions of kings that are against Abram. And to cut a longer story short, we see in Genesis 14 that Abram and those who were with him, they were victorious in this battle. And Lot was rescued, along with a lot of other people. And so the chapter finishes with Abram, and he's enjoyed a victory, and then he faces this test. Remember, there's these two kings, and essentially what he does is he resists the temptation to go in the direction of Sodom. He resists the temptation, the lure of this world. And he determines that he will honor God. He sides with the king of Salem. So in summary, Genesis 14 for Abram was a good chapter. Abram is in a good place with the Lord as we come to the end of Genesis 14. But Genesis 15, we see it begins with a crash. So that's our first point. The first point is that we see that there's a crash. After this, verse 1, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield and your very great reward. So what do we learn from verse 1? Well, we learn that Abram is afraid. It's good to have a few boys and girls here tonight. Put your hand up if you've ever been afraid. And you know, if the big boys and girls were to raise their hands as well, there isn't a hand in this room that would be down, because all of us, at some times in our lives, find that fear is rising in our hearts. And Abram at this point, he's afraid. And we know he's afraid because the Lord looks into his heart and says, don't be afraid. Now, why is Abram afraid? We're not told exactly why. The scholars, they speculate on reasons. They say it might be that after this victory against the coalition of kings, he's fearful that these kings are going to try and get their revenge. And it might have been that. Or it might have been that Abram, you know, having turned away from Sodom and gone for the more barren land, he's in a bit of a personal cost of living crisis situation. And that's unlikely, but it's one of the theories that's put out there. It might have been, and this is more probable, that Abram is afraid because the promise that God had given him, remember, just a few chapters back, that promise to give him children, that promise to give him land, it doesn't seem to be coming true. You know, time is passing, he's aging, And this promise of God doesn't seem to be coming true. And maybe that was on his mind. And as the years passed, he's becoming quite anxious and afraid. Is this promise ever going to come true? And in all likelihood, it was a mix of all these things. A wee bit of this and a wee bit of that. Because when we find ourselves awake at 3 o'clock in the morning, it's not usually one thing. There's a whole flood of things that comes into our minds. But at this point in time, Abram is afraid. And the Lord can see it. And so the Lord comes to Abram in this vision and tenderly says to him, do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your very great reward. And I think the first thing that we can take for ourselves from this is encouragement. I mean, boys and girls, when you think about some of these characters that you hear about in Sunday school, Daniel and David and Abraham, you know, we look at these characters and we think, these are the kind of guys that are never going to be afraid. They just seem to be such solid, brave, strong men of God. And we can think about women of God as well. And we might think they would never shake, they would never wobble. But the reality is that these characters in the Bible, like Abraham, they seem strong and they seem full of faith. But at times, they were afraid. At times, they went from being in a place where they were full of faith to a place where they were full of fear. And that's where Abram was at this point. It's a kind of strange thing when you think about it. And if you glance back at the last chapter, Abram is fighting superpowers. He doesn't seem to have any trace of fear. He goes forward in God's strength. He doesn't hesitate a minute. He's straight out there against these leaders trying to rescue the relation that he loves. He shows such courage. But now, after the victory, when things seem to be actually quite settled, he's scared. And we often see that in the Bible. Think about Elijah. We see that story of Elijah, and he's on his own, and he's facing down 450 prophets of Baal, and he stands firm. He's got this supernatural courage. But immediately after that victory, a woman called Jezebel comes and confronts him, and he just melts. He goes to pieces. Or think about Peter, whom we love. Peter, who we've been looking at in the mornings just a couple of weeks ago. Peter, he shows so much courage in so many situations. He says to Jesus, remember, meaning it from his heart, Jesus, I will be with you wherever you go. Everyone else might desert you, but even if it's to death, I'll be with you. You don't need to worry about me. I'll stay by your side. But all it took, remember, as we looked at it 2 weeks ago, was a little girl to ask him a question. Are you not one of the guys that was with Jesus? And he just crumbles. He crashes. He denies Jesus. So this is a lesson for us. This is a pattern that we need to note. Very often, victory will be followed by a crash. Very often, in spiritual terms, when we have had a victory, an amazing experience, a mountaintop experience, very often, immediately after, there will be a crash. Very often, when we think we are secure, to put it another way, when we're feeling just spiritually top of the world, we're actually at our most vulnerable. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 12, Paul gives us a short lesson in that. He says, therefore, let anyone who thinks that he stands take heed lest he fall. And Abram here, he hasn't fallen, but he's stumbling with fear. He's shaking with fear. And the Lord sees that. He sees this kind of faith crash that is going on in Abram's experience at that time. So what comes next? Abram, he's starting to shake. He's starting to wobble. So what needs to be done to address that? Well, that takes us to our second point. There's the crash, first of all. And the second thing we see here is that Abram, he comes to God in prayer. And we see that in verses 2 and verse 3. But Abram said, O sovereign Lord. And that's a great thing to underline. Now, when we're starting to have a crisis of faith, when we're starting to find that, spiritually speaking, we're awake at 3 o'clock in the morning, the thing that we need to remember constantly is that God is sovereign. You know, everything might look chaotic, everything might look to be falling apart in our lives, but if you want medicine that will stabilize you, it's the remembrance of the fact that even though it might not always look like it, God is sovereign. He's still in control. And Abram, he remembers that. And Abram says, O sovereign Lord, what can you give me since I remain childless and the one who will inherit my estate is Eliezer of Damascus? And Abram said, You have given me no children, so a servant in my household will be my heir. So Abram here, he comes to God in prayer. You know, this is actually the first recorded prayer that we have of Abram. This great man of faith. This is the first prayer that we have recorded that comes from Abram's lips in the Bible. And it's a real, honest, simple, gritty prayer. Abram, see, he has a big problem. He has no children. He has no heir, and he can see no future in terms of his people and his estate and the direction of his family. So what does he do as he feels this anxiety, as he feels this stress? Well, he takes it to the Lord in prayer. It's heavy on his heart. It's filling his mind. It's causing him to wobble. And so he takes it all to the Lord in prayer. He doesn't sulk, which I think probably often is what we do, isn't it? You know, when things are not working out the way we want, when we've been asking God for something, when we're hanging on to a promise and it doesn't seem to be happening, then our tendency and our fallen nature is to want to turn away from God. We stop speaking. We take the huff. But Abraham doesn't do that. He doesn't go away from the Lord. He comes to God in prayer. And it's real, honest prayer. He has doubts. The Lord can see he has doubts and fears. But in order for Abraham's doubts to be dealt with, in order for Abraham's doubts to be overcome, he needs to come to the Lord, because it's the Lord who can deal with these doubts. And so he comes to the Lord and he asks for that help in prayer. If you want a parallel in the New Testament, think about Thomas in John chapter 20. Thomas is doubting. He's in a faith crisis. But the doubts of Thomas are overcome through spending time with Jesus. And through speaking to and listening to Jesus. And so we have an example here. We have an instruction here for us to follow. At times, we will face problems. At times, things will not work out the way that we want them to work out. At times, there will be doubts that crash into our lives. At times, there will be fears that grip us. So how do we deal with these things? Well, we come to the Lord in prayer. I mean, it's not rocket science, this, is it? You've heard this 100 times before. But you and I need to hear this over and over and over again. I so often quote that hymn, you'll be sick of me quoting it. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything. Even our doubts, even our fears, even the things that we might think we're not able to speak to God about. He wants us to bring them all to him in prayer. And there's another thing to note here before we move on from this point. It's just an instruction on how we pray. And Abraham here, he teaches us how we're to pray in this kind of situation. You know what he does? He just takes the problem, he takes his fears, he takes his doubts, he takes his struggles, and he just spreads it out before God. He just tells him. He tells the Lord why he's fearful. He tells the Lord what it is that's bothering him, and that is prayer. You know, prayer is not a negotiation where we try to persuade the Lord to adopt our way of thinking. You know, prayer is not a negotiation where we try to get the Lord and twist his arm to implement our solutions. Prayer is the means whereby we spread out our problems before him. And we just ask him to act. And when he does act, what we so often see is that his solutions are far higher and far greater and far more glorious than anything that we could ever have asked for. So we just have to lay our problems out before the Lord, hand them over and ask him to deal with them. You know, I'm sure you've got things in your life that burden you, just as I have in mine. And we look at situations, we look at people we love, we look at scenarios, and we think, I don't know what the answer is to this. How do I pray about this? And really all we have to do is just take the thing and pass it over to the Lord in prayer and say, will you please act? I don't know how to deal with this. I can't see a way through this. I don't know what the answer is, Lord, but will you please, for your glory, for the encouragement of your people, for the salvation of souls, perhaps, will you act? Will you intervene? And that essentially is what Abraham is doing here. He comes to God in prayer with his doubts, with his struggles, with his fears, with his problem. He hands them over. And he's acting. He's asking the Lord to act. So there's a faith crash for Abram, and then he comes to God in prayer. And from that point onwards, things begin to improve. And that takes us to our third point, which is probably as far as we're going to get tonight. And in point three, we see here that confidence, Abram's confidence, his faith, is restored through God's word. Verse 4, then the word of the Lord came to him, Abram. This man will not be your heir, but a son coming from your own body will be your heir. And what God is doing here is he's giving assurance to Abram that the promises that he gave to Abram in the past, they are true and they're going to come true. And when God speaks here, there is clarity. Abraham has been given a little insight into what God had planned for him. And as he speaks with God and as God speaks with him, there's more definition given to this plan. There's more clarity given to Abraham as he looks to the future. And this is so often the way that God works. It's very rare that the Lord gives you and I a 10-year plan. In fact, often he just gives us a 10-minute plan. You know, he gives us enough information for us to take the next step in faith. And then as we spend time with him, as we're close to him, as we're in the Word, he gives us a wee bit more. And a wee bit more. A wee bit more grace. A wee bit more clarity. A wee bit more assurance. And that's what Abram is receiving here. As God speaks to him, as he prays and speaks to God, and as God speaks to him through his Word, he gives him clarification on how this promise that Abram has been given will be fulfilled. A son will come, says the Lord to Abram, and that son will come from your body. Even though you're almost 100 years old, nothing is impossible for the Lord. And this son, says the Lord, will come from your own body, which is nothing short of supernatural, but that is who God is. So Abram's doubts and his fears, his questions, are answered through God's spoken word. And you don't have to think too hard to think about how this applies to you and me. You know, we need God's word. We need God's word. It's the answer to everything. You know, in terms of the doubts that we have, this is where they're addressed. In terms of the fears that plague us, this is where they're dealt with. In terms of the questions that we have when we're looking at a road ahead and we don't know which way to go, this is where we get direction. This is where we get clarity. We need God's spoken word. And Abram, he receives God's spoken word at this point. But there's more here. Because God in his grace and his patience, he doesn't just speak with words. In verse 5, the Lord speaks with pictures. Boys and girls, have you ever gone outside at night, on a clear night, and tried to count the stars? Yeah? Miriam said, yeah? How did you get on? How many stars were there, could you see? A lot. A lot, yeah? But what was the number? That many? Can you count the stars, Michael? No, there's just too many. And that's the illustration that the Lord uses with Abram. He takes him outside and he says, look up to the heavens. Count the stars, if indeed you can count them. Then he said to him, so shall your offspring be. And God in his patience and his grace and his goodness, he shows Abram this picture that he's going to see every clear night. And I'm sure this was of great help to Abram on a clear night when his faith may have been starting to shake. He looks up to the skies and he sees the stars and he remembers this conversation where the Lord takes him out and says to him, there's a picture of my promise to you. And it says that in verse 6, Abram believed the Lord and he credited to him as righteousness. Abram believes and he's made righteous through that faith. And you know, that's the message of the Bible for us. Boys and girls, tell me. How are we saved? How are we made right with God? Jono, what do we have to do to be made right with God? Put your hand up if you think you know. Do we have to attend 4,000 services? Do we have to memorize 726 Bible verses? Do we have to do 3,200 good works? Yes? No? So what do we have to do, Michael?
Pray.
We have to pray. That's a good answer, yeah? I'm looking for a wee bit more. Lois? We have to believe. We have to believe in God's word. That's what Abram did. God speaks to him. He shows him this picture of the stars. He gives him this promise, which is supernatural, which is more than his mind can grasp. And it says that Abram believed the Lord, and the Lord credited it to him as righteousness. And so, you know, boys and girls, and all of us here, we are made righteous. We are saved through believing God's word. It's not about what we are doing. It's not about the level of religion that we can attain. We are saved simply by believing in God's word. Or more specifically, we are saved by believing in the word made flesh, Jesus. Think of the text that we're so often in. For God so loved the world that he sent his only Son, so that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For those who are keen, you can go home and read Romans 4. And Paul preaches a sermon on that one, but I'm not going into it just now. But what we can take away with us tonight as we leave is Abram believed God's word and he was saved. He was made righteous because of that. And the question for us as we go out the door is, do we believe in God's word? Do we believe in God's Son, the Word made flesh, who lived and died and rose for us so that we can be saved? The only way we can have confidence in our salvation, the only way that you and I can be made righteous, is through believing in him. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. And we'll sing that hymn to close. The words on the screen. There is one more point. When we come back to it, a week on Wednesday. But we'll sing to conclude now. My hope is built on nothing less. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the fellowship of God the Holy Spirit be with us all now and forevermore. Amen.